Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Larry Massett, and one thing I can tell you about fish is you better not count on them. For example, a herring, a shiny little fish that has been crucial economically to countries around the North Sea and the Baltic. For reasons not well known, the herrings seem to come and go, as do the fortunes built upon them. In the North Sea, their heyday was the 14th century. In the 16th, they vanished. In 1747, what do you know, they turned up again and thrived until 1809 when they went away. And in 1895, they came back and disappeared in 1906, and so on. Is it overfishing? Is it something in the environment? Is it a natural cycle? I don't know. But if you want to see what it's like right now when a whole fishery just disappears, visit the Atlantic coast of Canada. Producer Chris Brooks takes us to Newfoundland, where life has often been about cod. Cod is a big fish. It is rather dull. It has many uses. And it's nowhere in sight.
Maybe part of the problem was we could never really see it. Out there, where two huge ocean currents meet and dance together, from the south, the Gulf Stream, warm. From the north, the Labrador Current, very cold. Above the surface, their dance looks like this, like fog. Underwater, the dance is much more rare and beautiful, but only the fish know what it looks like. For centuries, millions upon millions upon millions of them have come to breed and feed and dance with it. That's why, for 500 years, the Newfoundland cod fishery was the greatest fishery in the world.
So, catch a hold of this one, catch a hold of that one. Swing around this one, swing around she. Dance around this one, dance around that one. Little on this one, little on thee.
The trouble is, you can lose your way in the fog. The landscape you know can slip away, like the memory of what used to be.
This is a song that it relates to the Newfoundland situation now, since the fishing moratorium, you no longer can catch any codfish. And since there were a lot of people employed in catching that codfish, and they made their living off it, the federal government came up with a compensation program. That's what they call the package. And they called a moratorium, they left us high and dry. They took our small communities and left us FPI. They give us compensation, they hope to buy our soul. Their fancy fisheries package, just another kind of dole. Now which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Which side was the outside a year ago, July 2nd? Outside the door.
Reaction to the announcement of a 2-year ban on the northern cod fishery was swift and angry. Enraged fishermen tried to break down a hotel door where Fisheries Minister John Crosby was holding a news conference.
It should look after any emergency situation until we can decide what's necessary in the longer for the 2-year period.
Crosby, did you expect this kind of reaction when you brought this announcement down?
Am I on the air? Yes, I believe I am. This is Doug Leto here. We can see some fishermen trying to get into the news conference room where Mr. Crosby is holding his news conference. They're being held at bay by some people. We're not sure if they're hotel security people.
I saw it on television. I'm sure I saw Sam Lee. I wonder if Sam at the door.
There are more fishermen coming. We're assuming they're fishermen. heading down the hallway toward the news conference room.
It's really symbolic of what has happened and continues to happen. Politicians and bureaucrats talking about whether or not these fellows are going to be allowed to catch fish, whether there's any fish out there, blah, blah. They were barred out. They weren't allowed to even be in and listen to, you know, what was going to directly affect them the next morning. A symbolic.
But that was all then. Now is a year later, halfway through the 2-year moratorium. Now is the waiting.
I'm trying to think of the song. The springtime of the year is coming.
Introduction.
Yeah, tell me who you are and what you do.
My name is Sam Lee, and I'm an inshore fisherman from Petty Harbour, a community just outside St. John's, on the island of Newfoundland. And my chief species is cod. As a matter of fact, my only species is cod.
The springtime of the year is coming.
I'm 43 years old. I'm a single parent of three kids. We're living off the grace of the federal government right now with the moratorium package, which should be over this time next year. And I'll then be living off the grace of God and the fishery, with any luck.
The springtime of the year is come. Once more we must away. Out on the stormy banks to go, in quest of fish to stay.
What is a fisherman? Some people say he's a fool. Everybody that's fishing says they're fools. You know, when you get up every day, and you don't know, every day it's different. It's, when I get up in the morning, I don't know what's going to be. I may go to my trap, maybe full of fish, maybe empty. Maybe gone. The ropes could bust clear the grapevines and the tides take it away. A whale could take it away. I mean, there's so many different things, you know. That's what I mean about fishing. Like it gets in your blood.
From where the wild sea billows foam, there by cold breezes stand, out on the stormy billows on the banks of Newfoundland.
You got a bag of cod fish here, one fresh cod fish.
May the 26th, the springtime of the year in Petty Harbour.
Well, like last year, this time of year, there was a lot of complete beehive activity around the harbour. Like, fellows were going with cod traps and getting their boats ready, and you could always hear the tinker of hammers driving oakum into the seams of boats and then around the harbour. Like, this was the big panic. This is when your adrenaline was flowing, right? Everything was on the move. You look out in the fog and everything was just getting nice and...
waiting for the fish to come.
Yeah, just getting ready for it, right? Like Christmas. And now, this year, nothing. Nothing. You don't even see anybody. I mean, nobody around. No. Nothing at all. It's just a lonely feeling. That's what it's like, just lonely. I guess I'll do something, go up and tinker around with the stage where I put my anchors and that, and, you know, probably take off boards that no need of taking off just to put my new ones on, you know, just something to do, you know, check for leaks or whatever. Come home, sit around again.
There's lots of fish in Bonavista Harbor, Lots of fishing in around here. Boys and girls are fishing together. 45 from Carbonear.
June 7th. Usually these would be in the water by now, but this year the weather's been bad and, well, not prone to go in the water for. Now the weather's warming up, if we don't get them in the water, won't be nothing left from the fall.
A wooden boat will just will draw apart like this one, eh?
Yeah, the seams will open right up, and, you know. And I'll just scrape the old paint off for a new coat of paint and caulk the seams wherever they need to be caulked. This one here, you can see some came out of it. Put some caulking into that.
In terms of fishing technology, is this the culprit? Is this what's knocked the cod stocks down?
No, not this. How can this knock it down? A little boat like that. The most technology is in this one now is a depth sounder. That's it. The rest of it is just basic. Get your cod traps out, fish comes to it, you get it. If you don't, you won't. No more to it than that. We don't chase it down. We don't hunt it. The draggers hunt it down, that technology, the otter trawl boats.
Offshore.
Offshore. The inshore, anybody that's into traps, they watch the weather, winds, tides, and just wait. And if it doesn't come, well, it's nobody's fault. Well, right now it's somebody's fault. But nobody likes to listen to us when we tell them. I'm not saying we're always right. But so far, we're betting a 10 out of 10. It's not a bad average.
Tried to tell him. Tried to tell him there was something wrong.
No, it's unbelievable how the fish went in size. Right? That was the most noticeable thing of all. Because, like, the otter trawl fleet that moved down into St. John's, like they're following the fish. And when they moved down to St. John's, there was a remarkable difference in what fish was coming into Petty Harbour. But there's no move to change the technology. We knew then, that's why we started up the Inshore Fishery Association, that there was something going wrong. And that was going on its 8 year before they closed the fishery. Trying to tell them that there was something wrong. We tried everything we could do, and he still wouldn't listen because we were the so-called ignorant fishermen.
June 12th.
We have our own co-op, the fishermen, but they have our own co-op, a fish plant.
But of course, it's not a fish plant this year.
The plant got turned from a fish processing plant into a schoolhouse, you might say.
When you were on the package, they like you to take training.
So all this training came out, so we said we'd do the training here, we'll change the plant. I mean, what's so wrong with me going up there and going to school for a couple of months?
26 years ago, Sam dropped out of school to go fishing.
I mean, I get grade 12. If nothing else, they can say they got their fishermen educated.
Do you ever, when you wake up in the middle of the night or in your quiet time, is there ever a voice in the back of your head that says maybe the fishery is not going to open ever again?
Yeah. That happened today. In class, we were doing a course, and part of the course was giving a speech, right? And one of the guys was speaking about the fishery and how he got involved with it. Then we finished up saying, "Hey, don't think you'll ever go back fishing now, you know." And it was only the day I realized that I'm looking at the fishery as opening up next year. And I'm going back fishing. That was all it took. I'm going to be off for two or three years. I'm going to get my package, and then I'm going back fishing. I never thought about, what if there's no fish? Then what do I do? You know?
Oh, this is the place where the fishermen gather, with oilskins and boots and cape ends buttoned down. All sizes of figures, with squid lines and jiggers, They congregate here on the Squidchicken ground.
Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to join with me in welcoming our newest and first graduate.
June the 19th. They walk up the aisle under the balloons and crepe paper streamers. Sam in the middle of the line.
We're all gathered here now for our graduation ceremonies. We have all the students lined up with their cap and gowns on.
You're getting grade 12, right?
Yes. Now, all the graduates here have achieved grade 12.
So what do you do after this? Have you given any thought?
After this? I'm going fishing.
The lyrics of the graduation theme song say, "The cares of tomorrow will wait till this day is done." But this afternoon, the cares of tomorrow are too impatient for that. They're 15 miles up the road in St. John's at a news conference.
Today we want to provide you with a scientific update on the Northern Cod. The latest scientific information certainly underlines the dimensions of the fisheries disaster that is underway. Recovery of the stock is obviously some years away. The ability of federal and provincial governments to assist is limited because of their fiscal situation.
In the news tonight, it's worse than they thought. There's more grim news about cod stocks off the coast of Newfoundland. Almost a year ago, the federal government imposed a 2-year ban on cod fishing. More than 20,000 people lost their jobs. Now there's more bad news. The latest scientific study shows the cod stocks are actually shrinking.
It's not just a fisheries problem. It's a major social and economic catastrophe, I suppose would be the best way of saying it.
Operator?
Hello, operator. I'd like to place a call, a marine call, please, to the fisheries research vessel, the Gaddis Atlantica.
Okay, where is this vessel?
I think it's somewhere off Funk Island.
Gaddis Atlantica. Who do you want to speak to?
Sam Lee.
Sam Lee?
Yes, he's a fisherman.
Okay.
June 25th. Sam's not home.
And your number? Phone number?
722-7111.
It turned out that at the graduation, someone offered Sam the chance to go to sea for 10 days with government fishery scientists on an offshore research trip. He sailed a few hours later. He'll be out there for another week, which means he'll miss the performance tonight.
We have to go and go. We're going out to Petty Harbor to perform at this conference.
Hello, operator.
Hello.
Yeah, okay, they're gone to get Sam for now.
Okay.
Just a couple minutes.
Stay alive to hold, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Everything feels so strangely dead to me. It's not like you're going into Petty Harbor that, and you know, and the boys are going to be getting up in the morning and going out to the fishery or anything. It feels like everything's dying out.
Okay, operator, and okay, Sam, you go ahead, your call.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sam, it's Chris, over.
How you doing, Chris, over?
Okay, listen, the last time I saw you was at graduation. How did you wind up out there?
There was a position open for an observer to go out just to have a look around at the type of experiments they carry out, over.
What's the purpose of the trip, Sam? Over.
The vessel is out now looking for cod, seeing if they can find any cod around on the Grand Banks. And apparently there's very, very little cod. As a matter of fact, hardly any at all. What we do find is very small. We have probably landed a total of 20 small cod in about 5 tolls. Over.
Is that, I mean, when you say 20, I would have thought it would be, you know, measured more in terms of hundreds of pounds. Is that the way it would normally be? Over.
Normally you would be measured in thousands of pounds, but I mean like 20, in 2-0, 20, and very small at that, over.
Out in Petty Harbor, see, they had these particular type of boats, the Petty Harbor bait skiff, and, well, it's a song that was made up about a tragic event that took place
So from what you're seeing, is it making you any more optimistic about when the cod fishery might reopen? Over.
It's not making me very optimistic. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's going to open for another 20 years. Well, you have to be here to believe it. I mean, I never really believed it was this bad, Chris. This is really gone. Over.
There was a heavy squall of wind, and the boat tipped over, and only one fellow was saved. Very tragic song.
I don't know if I need this at all, Chris. Before, I had a little bit of hope for the future. Now I don't have much at all. It's just gone.
But there's a different feeling singing a tragic song when everything else is okay. It's just sort of like it's a bit of history that you're sort of reminding people of or reminding yourself of. But it becomes really hard for me to sing those songs in the context of what's going on now. I find my throat just closes up, you know. I get really emotional, and then you can't be emotional when you're singing, you know, because it closes off your throat. Then you can't sing. On Saturday we sailed away, being in the evening late, bound unto Conception Bay, all for a load of bait. The clouds lay in the atmosphere for our destruction met. Boreas blew a heavy squall, our boat was overset.
Morning, Christopher. How are you?
All right.
July the 2nd. Sam's back home.
There ain't no fishery coming back in a hurry, I'll tell you that.
On the kitchen table, cigarettes, a lighter, a lottery ticket.
Nope, there ain't a fish out there, Chris. If there was, I'd be the first one to tell you. Yes, there is hope. If I want there to be hope, but there ain't no hope. All one can do now is ponder what one's going to do with the rest of one's life.
When Sam smokes, you notice his hands. Flesh thick around the fingers like winter gloves. The kind of hands that could haul a net for hours and not cramp with the cold. Fisherman's hands.
I went out expecting to see the net coming up behind the boat, you know, with a few fish in it, right? And I was under the impression that they had windows in the net to let it escape, because it's only scientific, but the only one samples I fear, you know. So when the net came back and there was this little lump in the cod end, you know, it was kind of disheartening to see the net not floating up, but, you know, I'd best pass it off at that. And I was out there for about a week under that assumption. And then one day I was looking at the net coming back, and I was looking for the windows to see where the fish got out, what they're talking about windows, and then I couldn't see any. And so we went down, we were talking to the scientist on board, George Rose, and asked him about the windows, and he said there was no windows in it.
Yes, I think he was quite dumbfounded when he was told that, in fact, no, there were no windows in the net. That was it. You've got to see it. You've got to take people out there and say, you know, this is where we used to find hundreds of thousands of tons of fish, and show them on the echo sounder that it's absolutely bare water. There's nothing there. To good fishermen like Sam, this is a gut-wrenching experience.
What happened to it? Where did it go? I don't know. I was out there wondering, you know, I think I'll come back in now and put everything in the paper and sell the whole works if I can, but...
What, your fishing gear?
Yeah. What good is it? I don't expect to be used in that in my lifetime.
If I had to paint a scenario of what's happened, we started off with massive overfishing in the northern part when the stock was truly abundant. And we have to go back to the 60s to see that. Massive, massive overfishing. But the environmental conditions overall, even though we've had some little blips of good conditions, have been deteriorating for 30 years, and it was starting to catch up with us. It was not realized by people who were doing the assessments that this was going on. So we kept on overfishing. We kept on fishing too much, and we really did a job on a stock that, because of environmental reasons, was having a difficult time. And we kicked them down so bad that there are no quantities of them left. Now, whether there are enough of them left to reestablish, to respawn in those areas, we just don't know.
A lot of inshore fishermen that I talk to say, well, we told you so. We were telling you this for years. You wouldn't listen. And they point the fingers at politicians and scientists like you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. And there's a point to be made there, all right. Many mistakes were made in the scientific process. But, you know, I would argue strongly that the problem was not that there was science involved and that the scientists were wrong. It was that there was not enough good science applied to the problems that the fishermen were rightly pointing out with the fishery.
It's not just work, it's not just money. It's not just, you know, hell, I don't doubt that I could be a lot better off if I didn't have to go into fishery. You know what I mean? But, when I'm fishing, right, my heart and soul is into what I'm doing. But for me to go anywhere else and get a job, no. Well, God, as soon as the sun is shining, you want to be out and your mind will be on the water and, you know, what you would be doing. Not what you're doing, but what you would be doing. Right? I'll be on occupying a space. And, you know, I'll do the day's work. But it'd be just that, a day's work. It won't mean nothing.
To see them drowning one by one, and no relief deny.
And now my mind is rattled, like I don't know what to be thinking about. I don't want to give up on it. Not yet. My mind frame now is telling me that the fish is not caught. It's gone. It's moved somewhere, right? And in time, it'll come back to us. You can't even imagine never having a caught again.
So catch a hold this one, catch a hold that one. Swing around this one, swing around she.
You got a bag for cottage shirt, one fresh cottage shirt.
Dance around this one, dance around that one, diddle dum this one, diddle dum dee.
On the Package was produced by Chris Brooks for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Studio engineer was Terry Windsor. The songs were performed by Anita Best. This program is part of Soundprint's international collaboration series, Crossing Boundaries, and was first broadcast in January of this year. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU at the American University. Thanks also to WJHU and WVPN. Today's program is funded by the National Endowment for the Arts. Additional support is provided by this and other NPR member stations, and the NPR Information Fund, whose contributors include, for coverage of technological innovations, the Lemelson Foundation, investing in America's economic future. Write us with your ideas and comments. Write to us at Soundprint, 4000 Brandywine Street, Northwest, Suite 620, Washington, D.C., 20016. Or you can give us a call at 202-885-1285. On the internet, our address is soundprint@american.edu. This is NPR, National Public Radio.